This is Filming the Supernatural. That's right, welcome back to another brand new, awesome episode of this awesome podcast. Today we are talking about the awesome show, SV Chronicles.
We are here on YouTube, TikTok, all different kinds of platforms. A new episode comes out every Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over on YouTube. And if you don't have YouTube and you're more of a TikTok kind of fan, every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, that same episode will be airing there.
Before we dive deep into the filming of SV Chronicles, first, we're going to meet Jack and Evan.
My name is Jack Vasey. I'm with Evan B. Stone from the SV Chronicles.
Music cue. No, just kidding.
What kind of song would you like?
Like a Disturbed type of nut.
Okay.
My name is Evan B. Stone. I'm a cinematographer, a filmmaker. Most known right now for being the director of photography for Expedition Unknown on Discovery Channel. And being Josh Gates' best friend. Destination Truth in 2009, and I'm best known in the paranormal world for being blown back by a ghost in the Haiobuchu forest in Romania, and that was my first week on the job. I've never done anything like that, so I've been spanked into the business. And I met Jack online, actually. I think you were a fan, or we just started talking. Yeah,
I was friends with Ben Hansen from Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and I was talking to Ben one day, and Evan's profile popped up, and I was like, oh, crap, that's Evan from Expedition Unknown. So I added him. We got talking. So my name is Jack Vasey. I've been a paranormal investigator and cryptid investigator for the past 20 years. I've traveled around the Eastern Seaboard doing investigations about the paranormal, cryptids, all different kinds of stuff. I started TikTok back up in 2021. You know, we started growing really rapidly, and I realized that there was a certain aspect to my TikTok that was kind of lacking. And I was great in the live department and then talking to people right in the moment. But when it came to storytelling, I needed somebody who could really capture each part of not just the paranormal, but history.
And I take it that need and desire to bring in that partner, Evan, here in this case, is how the SV Chronicles came to be.
So me and Evan started talking, and basically, you know, we decided that we were going to make this a brainchild of when your favorite, you know, storyteller and creator from TV meets your favorite live creator and mix it together. And so we're going to take people on these historical investigations and paranormal investigations. And it's not just paranormal. We're going to do some cryptid stuff as well, like Bigfoot and things like that. And, you know, take you along on episodes. And then eventually we'll be going live from the locations where the viewers can actually help us.
Yeah. We're doing a hybrid traditional investigation that ends with a big mystery. Like we need to find out more. And then we bring the audience in for a live and they help us. It's interactive. This is kind of reinvent storytelling in the modern times, because right now TV is kind of dead. It's not, you know, you binge watch your shows, but you're not watching TV. And if commercials start coming on, that means you're on a real channel. You click out. So television business right now, the TV industry in Hollywood is kind of in a weird place. There a lot of people in my world are out of work, and we all know that we get our entertainment online, on our phone mostly. And Jack is, I think, one of the leaders in live investigations with paranormal stuff. And that is so sticky. You know, the people who are into this, the genre, are very loyal. They're very, whether they like it or not, they're opinionated, and they're there. They want to be there.
Yeah. I'm going to turn on my heater real quick because it's like 10 degrees out.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you ready for the 7 coming back up in January? It's going to be like negative 20 at night when we investigate. Bring that Arctic gear, man.
You know what they say, no such thing as bad weather, just bad clothing.
This man, every time we went out, he was like, dude, where's your coat? And I'm like, it's like 30 out, man. This is actually pretty warm. I'm going to be in the truck most of the time anyways. It's like, yeah, it's in the back seat. He's like, get your coat on. Okay.
Yeah. I'm from Michigan. I can relate.
Okay. You know.
On a scale of like ranking equipment, would you say a jacket is above or below the EMF meter?
I think Evan would agree that it's above. And at the same point, you need rain gear. This man, I am now looking at rain gear because we went out and it was just like freezing rain sideways. And he looks at me, he's like, where's your rain gear? And I'm like, crap, I should own some rain gear.
The good stuff, like that, that's on Deadliest Catch. You know, those guys who wear, or like who fly fish in Alaska, you know, company called Gage, or it's like rubber. You know, doesn't breathe. Maybe some holes under somewhere, but you're good.
Keeps you warm and dry.
On Expedition Unknown, a show I do with Josh Gates, I've been working with Josh 15 years. If you're not prepared, you're going to be in trouble. I mean, he's going to, you know, be upset at you, and you don't want that. Well, you know, we keep, when we go out, I have a little hip pack. I keep a battery, a kind of a thicker brick battery. I keep a GoPro. And I have a rain, it's like a little plastic shower cap, and we just put it over, and we got to keep rolling, and we got to, and if I think it's going to rain, which I usually always does, I have a little backpack too, and I have that on, or I have it wrapped around me, and I'm just, you got to keep going, put it on, and just keep shooting.
It's funny, as when I was working for the news station, we used shower caps to cover up our Canon 60Ds. When we were out there shooting for sports photography, I'd have to cut a hole at the end of the shower cap, and you put it over and it would stretch and keep your camera from getting soaked.
Oh, I can relate to that. When I worked at a news station, they had like the most god-awful, you know, rain protector. So we would always do DIY stuff like that just to figure out an alternative, because you couldn't use the stuff they provided. It was just terrible.
I had an idea, a name of a company is called Lens Wraps. And they're like kind of disposable, but they're for assistant cameramen, and they're like that. You got the bigger ones, the smaller ones, ones for your backpack.
Awesome.
Lens wraps coming near you.
You know, I think everyone could use a good lens wrap. I like this podcast. This is good info.
Jack and I have we're teachers as well. You know, when I was growing up in the film business, people didn't tell you stuff. They didn't want you to take their job. It wasn't that much out there, and you'd have to mentor with someone and stick with and work for free and all this stuff. Now it's all online, and it's cool to give this stuff away. And it really is. This idea of content creators is a whole, industry that's multi-billion-dollar industry that just popped up out of the last 3 years. With lights and tripods and cameras, all of a sudden everyone's talking about f-stops and lenses and things that I was nerded out on with my friends, and now it's like common knowledge, and it's really cool. A lot of people are making money from it. You know, they're creating a world that they're the expert at, because everyone has something that they're really good at, and so you're taught now, like, no, you can lean into that. And you can have a community based around that, and people want to know that. You can teach that, and then you can sell products like ebooks or the knowledge stuff.
Or lens wraps.
That's lens wraps. Yeah. That's it.
Product placement.
you need to hop on that domain before next Friday. Someone might take it.
No, I got to jump on it.
Listen, when we started the SV Chronicles, that man went out and got the domain for the SV. He's like, somebody's going to try to get that. Boom. He's like, he was already on top of it.
So when you actually got to filming the SV Chronicles, the first episode covered the Lady on the Bridge story. How did you choose that one to cover for the first episode?
I sent him a picture of one thing, and he's like, I don't know what that is. I got to come out and check that out. This is crazy. Had to do with nothing really paranormal per se, but enough that it piqued his interest, where he's like, I've never seen anything like this before. I'm coming out. And then we get out here, and all of a sudden, I think it was just like a week before he was flying out, I stumbled upon this case.
The Lady on the Bridge?
Yeah. And I was like, I need to look up the history. And I looked up the history, and all of a sudden my mind just blew up, and I'm calling him. And he's like, hold up, hit the brakes. Let's record this. And then after I told him, he was like, yeah, no, I know I was coming out for this, but I need to come out for this first. This needs to be told.
And we never did the first thing, which is a UFO.
No, and I just said that. I drove by that area the other day with my fiance, and I was like, oh crap, me and Evan never went there. And she goes, yeah, wasn't that the whole reason he was coming out? And I was like, yeah.
Never
ADHD. And we call ourselves the ADHD ghost hunters, because we really are. Like, we'll like 1 second we'll be like, ooh, shiny ghost. Wait, over there. And that's how we are.
And then, Jack, what do you talk about where you live and the history of that place?
There's so much up here. So I'm in upstate New York. I'm only about 30 minutes from Canada. And we had the French Indian War, War of 1812, Civil War, Underground Railroad. I mean, there's stuff going all the way back to, I think the earliest things I have found is about 15 to 1600s. There's even speculations up here that actually we got to talk about this one day, Evan. There was an episode of Expedition Unknown about Vikings coming to America.
Yep, I did that one.
At one point, there was a story about Vikings actually being in the Adirondacks.
Oh, wow.
So there's a lot of history here, and there's a lot of stories that haven't been told, and they've been lost to time. And me and Evan stumbled across one of the biggest stories I think I've heard of in a very, very long time. And we started digging in, and the things that we're finding, the connections, the evidence that we're getting is like nothing I've ever experienced in the 20 years of doing this. It's exciting.
Yeah. Like we're getting leads from these paranormal investigations, these entities for our story. And that's, you know, I'm a TV guy. They won't let you go out the door unless it has a purpose, a story, a mystery that needs to be solved. I'm infusing that, you know, Jack already knows instinctively this stuff, but he's never had it like told to him. Like we need a setup. We need to know who we're, you know, and all this, instead of just showing up, this place is haunted, and then we're going to go search it, which a lot of people do, and they're really successful, but we don't do that. I mean, our story started one way, and then it's like a onion layer. It just peels out, and we're like, it just splits, and it's like incredible. It's like mind-boggling what we're getting into up there, and what we're leading. We're being led, really.
Yeah.
And it's history. They're like leading us to little breadcrumbs to like discover who they are. It's like they want us to find them. It's like a they're reaching out, you know, and to these people that just show, no one's going up there. These places are desolate. It's depressed, poor. It's this this area, like, it's just like a dead zone of like, there's no real road to go. No big highway goes through it. It's near the Canadian border, the Great Lake.
It's bad up here. The economy is just completely gone. It's there's like four basic jobs that if you want to live in upstate New York, you need to work for the prisons or the hospitals or the state construction. And that's basically about it. And those jobs are very, very thin right now. We had a lot of large plants that just moved out back in the late 90s, early 2000s. Right after 9/11, everybody just kind of pulled out of this area. And it's hard. I called Evan the other day. I was out. I do the antiquing and everything. And I stop at all the local thrift stores because you never know what you're going to find. And I grab all the old books. Like I just grabbed two books that day that were talking about ships from the 1800s to the late 1900s. And it's got a list of every one of them and some of their manifests and some of why they were coming here. And it's really cool to have that information. So I picked those up for a quarter a piece at the thrift store. But as I was standing there, a guy walks in trying to get food for his family, didn't have a pair of shoes. And it's, you know, 10 degrees outside. So I went over and I gave money to the guy and I said, whoever needs something, get them in. Like, it's sad to see that a lot of us feel like we're struggling in this economy that we have right now.
Yeah.
But we don't really know how bad it is until we watch somebody who's struggling a little bit more than us. And it's humbling. And like I said to Evan, I want to not only give back to this community, but help out with other communities. And so when we go work with historical societies, a lot of them, they don't get the funding that they need to preserve this history that's being erased in our country. And I think Evan and I can both agree when we do start raising money, we want to help those historical societies preserve those areas.
Yeah, that's community. You know, it's a full circle that goes from a community within the internet and a community where we live. And when I say we, that's up there because I live in Huntington Beach. So that's a different world. I live in a bubble, you know, but I don't because I travel the world a lot.
You don't. You come out, you see it. I mean, when you came out here, you said you grew up in the Adirondacks climb and you were from down in New York City and everything. I mean, the reason I see you have a passion for it is you said you have family that does antique dealing as well.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, my mom's a genealogist and family historian, and my grandfather was a mason. He was a master mason of the lodge up here where I live, and I got to join that. And to learn about how they preserve history, too, is really cool, like to see the books and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, look, we're all part, especially what we're doing, of a community, because it's the paranormal. It's the things that go bump in the night. It's the mystery. You know, it's, I'd even put it under the true crime, you know, world, that those people, you know, it's just let, like, there's still something in this world that maybe is magical. Maybe it's unknown. And that's just a mystery that I think all humans want to know. So I think that is a big community. And then there's a community, the internet community, and what we're doing. And it's really cool. You know, you're in Michigan, he's in New York, I'm in California. Here we are kind of meeting in one place. So it's a community. You can also get real negative about it and trollers and all that. So I like to keep it positive.
Your fair share being the live creator of those. You're always going to have people, no matter what community you're in, if it be history, paranormal, whatever have you. It's, you're going to have people who are going to be naysayers. You're going to have people who are going to be negative. And unfortunately, that's just humanity at this point. I mean, you just kind of got to roll with the punches and keep straight to your path and really try to, you know, push out the history. I mean, it's important. Like Evan always says, you know, when we got talking about this, at one point, these people were alive. Mm-hmm. These people had lives. And we need to remember who those people were. If we really want to investigate the paranormal, and I think that's why everybody's intrigued by the paranormal, is because we'll never know 100%. Nobody's ever an expert in the field of the paranormal because it's always changing. You're always learning. Mm-hmm. And the part with the history, too. I mean, it's, if you don't know who this person is, why aren't they going to want to talk to you in the afterlife?
Right. The more you know about their history, where they come from, maybe they can reveal themselves.
Yeah, and that definitely seemed to be the goal when you were investigating the lady on the bridge. And spoilers for anyone that hasn't seen it, she may have actually revealed herself.
I'll tease a little bit this on episode 2. We're in the car. It's about the lady on the bridge, lady in white on the bridge still. And we're trying to wrap that little story up, which leads to something else. And we're sitting there talking in the car, and we have a shot. My iPhone is facing down the line of the bridge. And it's, the lights are on, and we did that on purpose. So let's just film some stuff and chit chat, right? Because, you know, and afterwards I come home and I look at the footage, and there's like a party going on of paranormal stuff. Like, you know, like fucking woo, and then fucking all this stuff that we got, really, we got a full body apparition. We got shadow entities, and we didn't see it at all. So, wow. Until afterwards, and now it's part of our show where we're talking about it, you know, afterwards, because I think part of investigation is on boots on the ground, and then it's looking at the stuff that you got, the EVP, the footage, because that's in the shadows and is where you find stuff.
When he sent me that video, I never knew that any of that stuff was even being caught, because like you said, we were just chit-chatting, we were goofing off, it was cold, we were trying to get warm in the truck. And he sent it to me. I saw everything that we caught. And I'm like, dude, I've been doing this for 20 years. And I was like, I have never caught the full body apparition once. And that was in 2012, but not to the detail and this freaking close. I mean, we're only 30 feet away from it. Yeah. And you can see the legs and the foot. And I'm like, I'm sitting there watching this video over and over again. I'm clicking frame by frame, because even though I'm a believer, I'm also a skeptic. I'm like, could it be fog? Could it be this? Could it be that? Could it be a trick of the light? Plain as day. I mean, I know. You can see. And I'm like, Evan, if we put all of this evidence out at once, they're going to call our credibility because this is so much stuff. And he's like, which ones do you think are the best? And I was like, shadow entity, the full body apparition. And this, we actually got a light on the water that was not supposed to be there and is not there. I went back there last night. I didn't tell you that. After we did our ride around, I went back to the bridge and we drove over there, and I wanted to see if my lights were going to reflect on anything. Nothing. There's nothing there.
That's wild. And Evan, I got to ask, you were just recording, even though you knew you were just chit-chatting and it probably wouldn't be used had you not caught that amazing evidence. Mm-hmm. Is that something you just sort of picked up over time, that record everything mindset?
It's a thing Well, I started way back doing skate films, and you know, when these guys are trying to hit a trick, you gotta, if they hit it and you're not filming, it's a thing. It's like, come on, 20 times. You only see the good trick, you know? So I've learned to follow the ball that way, but also I'm known as I'm always rolling. My camera's in my hand on the trigger. And I get stuff that other cinematographers don't, because not listening. I'm always listening, even though I'm this and that. I got my camera in my hand. I know with Josh, he goes, "Oh, did you get that?" And I'm like, "Hell yeah, I'm kidding." Like, that's my job, you know, to always be filming. It maybe sucks for the editor, but and other people says, "Man, you shoot too much. You should just press and then unpress," because the editor, and then Josh is like, "No, you film everything." He doesn't care how long it takes to go through the stuff, because you're going to find the nuggets in there. So always be rolling. And in my reel, my sample reel, one of the things that I think is really relevant is on Expedition Unknown, Josh and I did a solo mission to Papua New Guinea, and we got set down in a village that it was kind of like way off the grid. And in Papua New Guinea, you end up in the wrong place. You get like murdered. It's like gangland. They're like, "Yo, we're the bird folks, you know, we're the mud people, you know." It's like, "Don't cross the river." It's real territorial there. And we show up, and I get off, and the helicopter does a lap around and comes back down so I could film it. And then while it's coming up and around, I look in the jungle, and there's like a tribe of menacing, like, natives, like going 5 feet forward, 5 feet back, 10 feet forward. They're like, "Oh," I'm like, "What?" And I zoom in, and then the helicopter comes down, and I go to Josh. I say, "Josh, the natives are restless, man. What the hell? What's going, like, these people?" And he looks over, and the helicopter leaves, and we're just screwed. And I'm like, "I'm going to die, but I'm rolling." And I film everything, and I got it. And it's genius. It's like, you know, if I wasn't filming, I was scared. It haunted me for the rest of my life. And it was a great piece of television. Everyone remembers it. And it kind of set me up. I think Josh really said, "Yeah, you're the man when it comes to just making sure that we get a story." Yeah. So there's a lesson there. Always be rolling. How's that? No matter what, bring the batteries, bring the cards.
Lens wrap.
Format your cards, number them, flip them the other way when they're done. Have a system in place. Have a GoPro always rolling. Have a GoPro in your pocket. Have your main camera, but don't be afraid to pick up your phone. That's what we shoot most of our stuff on, our phone. My iPhone Pro Max, anything. Who cares? Anything. It's not about quality. It's about getting the story, and you should know that. You can shoot it on a SVHS tape and lean into that look. Be like, it's the old 80s look, you know, like this. I get a camera here. This is a flip out. This is the, I don't know, from the 2009, maybe.
Is that the night vision?
Yeah, it's the night vision camera.
I love that camera.
What is it? Is it a
Sony Handycam? It's a Sony XAVCS. This is a great camera. It's in cold and the rain. It must be coated in there or something. It's a great camera, and this is what we go green with. It has the night vision.
I love that thing.
There's a few reasons why we use the night vision. For one, it's a good look, and people associate that with ghost hunting. So we like that. It kind of puts the viewer in a, like, okay, here we go, you know? And I like that. And it just gives you a feeling of, we're doing a ghost hunt, you know, and everyone uses it, and that's okay. It's a cool look. You know, it all started with what's that movie? The Blair Witch Project.
Yeah.
And
oh yeah.
That, I mean, let's be real here. This whole look and of feel of these shows comes from one movie made for $5,000. It's called Blair Witch Project, which is scary as hell.
It's smart. It got your heart pumping.
They use that low budget look as the film because it's found footage. From what I hear, that's the most profitable movie ever made because of it was done so low. Like, as far as the ratio of how much it made to what it was made. Hopefully filmmakers, you know, got some of it, because it's a lot of times they sell the rights early on. They didn't know. And then I got this camera here. This is a Sony A7S III. And this is a really good low light camera. This is like the pro, you know, like slow motion or I do scene work with it as well. If you want that kind of Boken background and Doppel look, or just rolling through places, and this is a good camera. So this is kind of my main one. And then we use GoPros, a lot of GoPros and action cameras. I mean, our main camera in the front is that two shot in the car looking back at us. That's a GoPro on wide. And we just talk. I mean, you know, we were mic'd up, but I use a mic from the GoPro. It's good. And there it is. What's that? Oh, that's
this is my Canon Rebel T6. And I use this for photography and videography.
Yeah, use that. That's a good camera. I mean, it's kind of cool when you use mixed mediums in this genre. It works. You know, you go green and then, oh, give me the GoPro. And you'll see in the way we shoot is we break the fourth wall. We always talk about the cameras we're using because it's part of the story. Is that rolling? Is that rolling? Okay. Is it good? Okay. Then we start talking story. Because we're doing a show, but we're investigating. So the response.
We're bringing a new aspect in because I got a pair of infrared goggles that actually record with a micro SD, yes. And we'll be using those when we do some like wilderness stuff and everything like that.
I love that.
They have 30 times optical zoom on this thing.
Oh wow! I know, right? It's getting good.
So I mean, you could use it during the day and get pictures, but at night you can actually see up to I think it's like 100 feet in the dark. Which is really handy, especially
video,
some of the places
video
that we
or stills.
Both.
Oh, nice! Wow.
Yeah, it's got a pretty good infrared. Black Friday sale.
Oh, nice. tech is huge for us.
We have a plan on doing a shipwreck, and we want to get an underwater drone.
Yeah, that's
so nice. We can get down there, maybe do an underwater EVP. That's what I want to do.
They're really a nightmare. Those things. I've used them a lot. They're just
are they?
Oh God, yeah. But they're tethered. You know, you don't want it not tethered.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're getting into AI. We are accepting the AI thing big time, and we're loving it. It's helping us clean up pictures, clean up video, help us with some answering some questions and cracking some codes. Also, it's helping us with product selling. Ebooks, comic books, character development, stuff. Those products are made for us. They're made for content creators. All the AI stuff coming out now. It's not going to take my job. No, it's going to make my job better and quicker so I can dish it out quicker.
More content. Yeah. How it is in this world. The more content you make, the more followers you get, the more support you get, the more money you get. And I mean, that's how you grow as a page. You have to just keep on. When I was doing TikTok full time before Evan joined me, last year we hit April, we hit 215,000 followers and 125 million views. Now we're at like over 150 million. And when I was doing that full time, it was like 70 hours a week and I had no AI helping me. It was doing research, finding an area, going there, filming, going live. Mm. And it's a lot, but now having AI, like you said, it takes a lot of that time out of there, you know, to write up something. You would have to sit there and do all the historical, you know, research, but now AI can actually help you with that.
Yeah. And then it's not taking your job. It's making it quicker and making you more productive and making your work more robust. We're not leaning into it and it's not creating anything that we're showing. What we're doing is cleaning up photos. Mostly I love it. That's what I love doing. I love taking people's photos and in real time, I record it too to show the audience, you know, how I'm doing it. There's no funny business. And it just takes out the noise, brings out the shadows. All of a sudden, you see stuff. It's amazing. I mean, it's
Me and Evan were in a cemetery where we couldn't actually read the inscription on one of these gravestones. And he went over and and I'm videoing him as he takes a picture and goes through AI. And all of a sudden, every swipe with the AI, it's getting clearer and clearer where you can actually make out the letters. Like, wow. And this was the first time I saw it happen in real time. I was like, because a lot of these stones up here, because of the weather, the elements you have, you know, like you're from Michigan, you know, the snow can just over time, it erases things. And we found stones that were missing. And then we find stones that have no prints on them because they've just been open to the elements. And he's going over there and he's restoring it. And we're able to, you know, find that history that's being erased physically.
Oh, wow. You were using PhotoDirector for that?
Yeah. And we use photometry as well. We take photos of something and it brings it in 3D. It's super cool. It's good for TV. It's good visual. Let's talk about other cameras. For the SV Chronicles, we reintroducing a look that we did in Destination Truth. It's I don't know even what it's called, but it's a look back. We call it the DT cam. It looks back on an arm from a backpack. Uh-huh. So we created that, and it's super fun because you're filming, so you have that point of view, and then the eyes on you. That's all you need. You can go out solo and investigate.
Yeah, when I put it on, there's a video on my TikTok. I get this thing on, I clip it, I walk out to look at Evan, and I go, I feel like I'm in an episode of Destination Truth. I'm like living my childhood right now. I'm like, click. I got the GoPro and the light right here. And I was like, dude, I'm to do this. Like, send me in the woods. Like,
yeah, it's cool.
It does. And that's the beauty of it. It's like a hype, you know. You get doing the ghost hunting, it's an adrenaline rush. It really is.
Yeah, it's fun. Right. I tell you, ghost hunting, doing this stuff I just rediscovered how fun it is, because when you start getting results, you get an adrenaline rush and you're like, oh, what? And you're like, no, we both have the same funny expressions. We just, what? And you gotta, it takes a lot, man. If you're like, I couldn't imagine like doing it at like this haunted mansion. Everyone's left for the night to go dinner. We're going to go. It's like, no, I don't know. Something about the place where Jack lives. It's no one goes up these roads. No one goes up there, goes hunting. No one, it's. The woods feel magical, but not like in a good way, like in a thick blanket of like.
I just discovered. Oh, like, yeah. When you just said that, dude, I just discovered.
What? See,
this is what sorry. I'm so excited to take you to this place, and I'm hoping that it's not like when in January it's not like 3 feet of snow out here. But the place that me and my fiance discovered the other night, the only way I can describe it was like driving through Hansel and Gretel. Mm. Like the way he just described it, you have like the moss growing. We found rock walls and structures from like the late 1700s, early 1800s. Dang. On it's called Lead Mine Road. It's this really little creepy back road. It's not paved. There's not even gravel. It's like basically gravel and grass mixed. And I accidentally stumbled upon it with my GPS. My GPS tried to send me down with a Chevy Malibu, and I was like, I'm not driving down this. Let me go grab my truck. So I got the truck, got my fiance in the car. We start driving, and there's this one tree on the road. And Evan, all it reminds me of is the tree from Ghost Nation, the witching tree. It is so weird. And we had a spirit box going, and it actually said, Necro, and she's here. Right as we're sitting next to it. And I looked at my fiance and I went, Evan's going to kick my ass because I was not rolling with the GoPro. Right. I didn't have any camera going. And I'm like, no, because I had grabbed the batteries, but as we went to leave and all the batteries were dead. Like, and they just had them all charged. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, I just need to go buy one of those other little action GoPro off-brand cameras. So I have an extra one just in case something happens. But this road is, like you said, it's the place that time forgot. That's what this area is. You go and all of a sudden you see a Dunkin' Donut, and then like a mile down the road, there's a house from the 1700s. It's creepy, it's eerie, and there's a lot of mystery up here.
Look, once you get into content creation and you're telling a story, everything you're doing is good for the story, if it is. And if you get it, and so many times, there'll be enough times where you miss stuff that you go, enough already. I'm going to put a GoPro on my car looking back, and I'm going to turn it on anytime I want. It's going to be really easy. Even where I'm sitting here, there's a GoPro right here filming me because I'm doing content, right? And this story that I'm telling is going to be regurgitated somewhere else. It's entertainment. It's trying to dish up a story. It doesn't have to be linear. It doesn't have to be a way that you're used to. Jack and I have been talking like this where we record each other since we met. And we're out of episodes and I'm on Expedition Unknown and we're looking for content. Oh, we're going back to that. Well, 100%. We're going to do our origin story, how we met and all that. And it's once the season's over, because all that other stuff that how we got here, it's going to be really interesting. People think that, oh, that couldn't have happened. And we're going to show people that it total transparency. Everything that we did is there and happened organically. Yeah.
And it's been recorded,
And recorded.
Yeah.
And we're talking about putting up our dailies. Like, like on the bridge, the whole tape. Like, you tell me what it is. Like,
yeah.
Then I think that's what's cool about us.
Yeah.
We got a vision, you know, and we're stoked on it. Because when you have a vision, you know where you're going. Everything else seems like, oh, annoying, because you got to get to it. You know, I got to edit and do it. I wish it was done. Like, because you know, it's not like, what am I going to do? It's like, oh, that footage is there. Like, right after this, I'm going to be editing because I'm into it. I want to cut it. You know?
Which one of you edits? Is it one of you?
Both of us. Kind of, like, he gets the main edits for the episodes. I do all the TikTok stuff, like the quick trailers that you see come up. Yeah. But Evan gave his tip about shooting and, like, always be rolling. And he knows what I do every time we go into public. What do I do every time we go to a restaurant? What's the question I ask?
Jack asks if you ever had any ghost stories or any paranormal activities that you know of, or do you know of anyone? I'd say about
10%. And if you don't ask, you'll never know. 10%, and that's the thing. And
yeah. 10% of them say, yeah, down the road is in high school we used to go. Some story.
That girl at Dunkin' Donuts. Yeah. I mean, we pulled up to get breakfast the morning that he was flying out, and I just said to her, I was like, you know what? Just gonna ask a weird question. You ever heard anything paranormal? She's like, oh my God, there's actually this old abandoned church around the corner, right down the road. And she's like, me and my boyfriend went in there and we had things following us. We could hear footsteps. And she's giving all this detail and she's telling us about it. But like, I've been doing that kind of stuff. I started asking that question probably like 10 years ago. Because when I first started paranormal, I was like, I don't really want to talk about it. People are going to think I'm nuts. Am I hearing voices? Kind of stuff like that. And then about 10 years in, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to know anything unless I ask a question. I'm not going to know about these stories. I know all the stories that have been told time and time again. We want to tell the stories that haven't been told. So the only way you're going to hear about those is asking that kind of question.
Yeah, that's a great tip. And before we wrap, do you have any additional advice you want to get in?
The advice I have for people going out and doing paranormal investigations is be safe, be smart, trust your gut. Don't do it alone. Always be aware of your surroundings. If you're going to go out to a wooded area, a place that's, you know, off the beaten path, go there in the daytime before you go in the nighttime so you can learn your surroundings, so you know what's there, what's not. And like I said, just be safe.
Awesome. Evan, any final tips?
Sure. I mean, I'll say use your phone. I say, you know, get the latest model or not, but the latest model is good for low light, and you don't need cameras. You don't need all these big cameras. You need your phone. You need to be in the moment. And I have this technique where I'm filming myself and I flip it back and it looks like two camera coverage. And sometimes you can hear your voice as what's that? And, you know, I wouldn't be hung up on cameras. I would be hung up on making sure your batteries are charged and you have enough storage in your phone or whatever you're using. You're going to get caught out there and have the batteries. Look, these things, these entities suck the batteries out. It's the bananas, right? So you need the good batteries. Get the GoPro batteries, not the ones from, you know, the knockoffs. It really is worth the extra money. And if it's a Sony camera, get the Sony batteries. It's really worth it. And have backups. And anything you think would be cool is cool. You want to mount a camera on somewhere, do it, because that idea you have is good, you know? Make sure you get, if you're doing an interview with someone, make sure you get a wide shot, a non-sync wide, where you don't see the person talking. It's like back and wide. So you can, when you make an edit, you won't look like a jump cut. That's a good piece of good advice. That's what I got.
That's great. And before we wrap, do you guys want to remind the listeners where they can find the SV Chronicles?
Our YouTube handle is the SV Chronicles.
Same on everything else, TikTok, Instagram.
Same on everything else. If you do have a TikTok and you want to hop over there, you can actually click on our link tree, which will give you links to all of our pages, like our Facebook, our Instagram, our TikTok, and our YouTube.
Thank you to Jack and Evan for hopping on the podcast to discuss the SV Chronicles. As always, Film and Supernatural is an Afterlife Row production. Make sure, if you liked what you heard, to leave a comment, as well as a 5-star rating, and give it a follow so you can be notified when brand new episodes are released.